Ask you to turn with me this evening to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 38. I'd like to begin by reading from verse 20. The words of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah to this ancient king Zedekiah, and yet they are so full of significance for us today. Jeremiah chapter 38. And verse 20, Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live." We have an unchanging God. And the terms that he often used to point the ancient kings to the way of deliverance is still the same today. It is the way of obedience, the way of surrender and trust. Now, Zedekiah lived in difficult days, approximately 597 through to 586 BC. He was of the household of David, Israel's most famous Old Testament king. A man who knew the Lord, who penned the scriptures, who guided the people in a way of truth. Zedekiah was familiar with the traditions of Israel, and yet he had turned away from the Lord, like most in his society. And on account of that fact, the Lord had delivered them into the hands of their enemies. They were under threat from the mighty powers of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. And they had become really a vassal state, dependent upon the whiff and the whim of the king of Babylon. The previous king, Zedekiah's nephew, had rebelled and had been carried off to Babylon. And Zedekiah had been placed on the throne at the remit of Nebuchadnezzar. And yet it would seem that Israel, or particularly Judah and Jerusalem here, were still on intent on rebellion. And they are warned against that rebellion by the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord had appointed that they should be subject to this evil empire on account of their sin. And when they were intent on rebellion, really they were rebelling against the decree and the appointments of God. But Zedekiah here, he's a man who is swept along really by the policy and the ideas of his civil servants and the men of power and influence in his society. The chapter begins by introducing us to Shephatiah and Gedaliah and so on. And these men, we could perhaps say, were equivalent to the cabinet office of our country. And they made representation to King Zedekiah because they took exception to the words of warning of Jeremiah the prophet. And because his counsel and his word was that they should surrender to the Babylonians and that they should trust the Lord to look after them and to overrule for their good, they resented his presence in Jerusalem. Now, Zedekiah, we could say, was a kind of half-believer. On the one hand, he followed the general attitude of the leadership of the government in Jerusalem. But on the other hand, he couldn't quite ignore the warnings of the prophet. The people of Jerusalem, by and large, were patriotic, and they resented the fact, understandably, that they were under the grip and the threat of this foreign power. They entertained false hopes, and their policy was, well, if we resort to Egypt and we employ Egypt as mercenaries, we could be delivered from the hand and the grip of the Babylonians. They were presumptuous in that they could not believe that the Lord would finally deliver them up as a city to the Babylonians. We are the people of God, they thought, even though, of course, they had largely abandoned his standards. They had polluted his worship. They thought, well, how will the Lord allow these things to happen to us? And yet the spirit of Jerusalem, generally speaking, was anti-God. So this was what was being brought to the ear and to the influence of Zedekiah on the one hand, but on the other hand, he couldn't quite dismiss the words of the prophet. And so great is his unease that in verse 14, it's recorded here, after Jeremiah had first, according to his license as the king, been put in prison, and then at the pleading of this Ethiopian Ebed-Melech, drawn up out of the dungeon, here in verse 14, we read, Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry, that is in the house of the Lord. And Zedekiah secretly or discreetly makes inquiry with the prophet once more. It's as if he's saying, well, I know what my people think of you, and I know that they would rather that you were out of the way, but just remind me, what is it that the Lord is speaking through you? He was fearful of the princes of Israel, and we clearly see that in verses 4 and 5, where he says, well, you can do what you like, you princes, you rulers, really, although I'm the king, I'm powerless to resist you. And he's fearful of the Babylonians, that's quite clear from verse 17. Jeremiah says to him, you need to yield. You need to go out to this Babylonian power and yield and surrender to them. And Zedekiah says in verse 19, I'm afraid. He was afraid of the consequences, of the scorn of his own countrymen. He was so near, and yet in another sense so far from the kingdom of God. And he's so like many souls today. Many who, on the one hand, follow the general attitude of this world, anti-God, cynical about the warnings of the Bible, and yet, on the other hand, can't quite ignore the warnings and the teaching and the message of the Scripture. Are you one of those people this evening? You're swept along by the attitude of this world and its unrealistic expectations. You're not quite prepared to face up to the truth as it is set down starkly in the Scripture. The world around you, its influential voices, says, turn away from the Lord. Live life your way. You can afford to live the life of a rebel against the King of Heaven. You have many years ahead of you. Then ignore and dismiss the warnings of the Word of God. Perhaps you're someone at the same time who is at the same time reluctant to completely dismiss what the Lord has said through his word, the Bible. You're secretly interested. And yet, like Jeremiah, there's part of you that is fearful. You're fearful of the worldly pressure that you come under. This cynical world that says you must be mad or you must be weak if you consider the teaching of the Bible. And you're fearful of how the world will treat you if you take the things of God seriously. That was Zedekiah's problem. Perhaps you're fearful of the consequences of repentance. If you turn to the Lord with all your heart and you begin to cry out for mercy and plead with him, if there is a change in your life, then you feel intimidated by those around you. That was Zedekiah's problem. his conscience bore witness that the testimony of Jeremiah was true. But at the same time, he wanted to fit in with the general attitude and stance and policy of those around him. Now, I want to focus upon the message then of Jeremiah the prophet to Zedekiah, because it's the same message, really, that is set forth in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to our needy souls. You see, Jeremiah says to Zedekiah here, you must turn yourself over to the Babylonians. That's God's appointment for your kingdom at this time. It required disloyalty to his community. There were all these powerful voices around him that said, we are not going to surrender. We are going to defend this city to the hilt. We are not going to fall in with this divine plan. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, to Zedekiah through this prophet, you must turn yourself over. And repentance is like that. The Lord, through his everlasting gospel, says to our souls, you must be disloyal to this world that is anti-God. This world that wants to live hostile to all the standards of God's word, and yet you must yield to the Lord in repentance. You must be disloyal, in a sense, to your culture and to the whole fabric of your society. You must stand up and say, I no longer want to be part of this world, no longer part of its policy and its stance and its thinking. And that's difficult for us. And yet that is what the Lord requires. Zedekiah was required by the Lord to surrender. And that for him was scary, to surrender to this ancient foe simply because it was God's appointed way at this time for his deliverance. If you surrender, says the prophet, to the Babylonians, the Lord will see to it that your life is spared. Now, of course, that was only on a physical level, on an earthly level. But the Lord's message to us is not only that we must repent of our sin, but we must surrender to the Lord, to surrender to his appointed ways. Are you prepared for that? Prepared to yield to the Lord? For Zedekiah, it would mean the abandoning of his self-determination. He would be under direct authority of this ancient king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he found that unpalatable. I'm the king of this little state that Jerusalem and Judah had become, a weak state. Really, it was only a matter of time before it would be overpowered by the Babylonians, but at least he was self-determining up to a point. And we may be tempted to think like that. I will not surrender to the Lord. I want to be a self-determining human being. I'm going to live life my way. You're just as vulnerable as this ancient king, Zedekiah. It's only a matter of time before you lose that determination anyway, and the Lord summons you to his court. It was a humiliation. Zedekiah would have to admit his weakness. I cannot stand for my people. I cannot stand up in my circumstances. I've got to hold up that white flag and surrender to this powerful enemy and his army. It's a humiliation to a certain extent. The gospel requires our humiliation, that we come before the Lord and acknowledge our weakness and our hopelessness before him. And we say, Lord, I surrender. I repent of all my rebellion and I turn myself over to thee. And so we can understand Jeremiah's timidity. But Zedekiah's timidity. But the prophet here assures Zedekiah that this was the way to life. Obey, I beseech thee, he pleads, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. Submit unto God. That's his plan. If we trust his plan of salvation, just like Zedekiah, we are assured. Not that we will have physical life for a guaranteed length, but something far better. We will know eternal life. The Lord will take us and receive us and bless us and pardon us and give us new life in our soul and ultimately grant us a place in his kingdom in heaven to come. Zedekiah ought to have considered, if he had just stopped and thought, the circumstances in which he found himself. And he ought to have considered the message that was being set before him. The source of this message was ultimately God himself. There were the false prophets that assured Zedekiah that if he retained his independence and lived a life of rebellion against Babylon, he would have success. But they had proved time and time again that their words were untrustworthy. But here was the prophet Jeremiah, if only he could sense that these were the words of the living God, that they were wise words, sure words, safe words, oh, then surely he would have heeded them. He would have cast aside all his reluctance, all his pride, all his prejudice. Friends, do you not recognize that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, set down in this glorious and ancient book, is the gospel of your salvation, pronounced by the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world and who himself offered himself upon Calvary's cross to secure your release from guilt and sin. Oh, consider the source of that message this evening. Do not turn away from it as Zedekiah did, but recognize that it is the authentic voice of your Maker and your Redeemer. And then Zedekiah ought to have considered the promised benefits here. It will be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. God is ever the same, and the gospel presents to us far richer promises and blessings than that, as we've outlined. And for us in Christ, there is the prospect of a silenced conscience. We all have a conscience. We may suppress it successfully for a time, but it will still stir us to unease from time to time and often break out with horrendous power as we near our death, reminding us that we are a guilty rebel before a holy God, a wretch with a lost eternity before us. But if we obey the voice of the Lord, who calls us to repent and trust Christ with our soul, then we shall know freedom from that guilt in our conscience. Obey and thy soul shall live. Live in that sense that it will be free from that great burden of guilt. There's the promise here implied, but it's certainly true in the gospel in a fullest sense, that when we turn to the Lord and obey him, he will give us his presence. That's a wonderful blessing. If Zedekiah was to abandon his stance and turn himself over to the Babylonians, the Lord was implying through the prophet, I will be with you. I will ensure and I will overrule by my mighty hand, so that even though you are in the presence of your enemies, they will not touch you. They will not harm you. Thy soul shall live. You will be preserved. It will be well with you. And the Lord makes far richer promises through his gospel, that when we obey him, and yield to him, he will be with us in life. He will grant to us his fatherly care and protection. We will prove his providence and his overruling in our lives, the answers to our prayers. We will discover his faithfulness in a way we have never done before. Obey then the voice of the Lord. And then Zedekiah ought to have thought, thirdly, of the consequences of his rebellion or disobedience. Verse 21 goes on to say, "If thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me." And here is the word of the Lord in verse 22. "Behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, 'Thy friends have set thee on or egged thee on and have prevailed against thee.'" They've persuaded you to continue in a policy of rebellion and resistance. "But now thy feet are sunk in the mire." You're in the mire. Oh, that must have been something to Jeremiah to say that. He knew it in a physical sense, what it was to be sunk in the mire of that awful dungeon, up to his neck, some say, near to death. But here he can say, Zedekiah, in a figurative sense, if you disobey this counsel of the Lord, you will be in the mire. You will be on the road to complete oblivion and ruin and sorrow and wretchedness. And these women will say those things in scorn, perhaps, or in despair. And they are turned away back, the friends, or your counselors and your government advisors are probably referred to here. They will turn away back. They will abandon you. Friends, that's what this world is like. It offers us its counsel. It urges us to follow its policy of resisting God, of turning away from the Lord. But then ultimately, when we come to the end of life and we face that sorrow and that ruin, the world, like these top men in Jerusalem, will abandon us. The world will leave us to our lost eternity. Then will we not consider the shame and the ruin and the regret of abandoning the Lord, of turning to our own ways and rejecting the counsel that he gives to us through the gospel? I want to look just for a few minutes at such a positive encouragement that is set by way of contrast here, and the words that are given to this Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech. Now you remember in our scripture reading, Ebed-Melech had spoken out against the condemnation of Jeremiah and the cruel treatment of this prophet, this attempt to silence him through putting him in this dry cistern where there was no water and he sunk in the mud. And it's clear that the Lord noted his loyalty, and there was a great promise of assurance given to him at the end of the following chapter. We didn't read these verses, but I want to read them now. Jeremiah is told by the Lord, verse 16 in chapter 39, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in the day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Well, this man then, who had sympathy for the prophet, he showed his loyalty to the Lord. In fact, the words that he used when he represented Jeremiah to the king at the gate of Benjamin, he says, "These men, they are filled with a vociferous anger at what had been done to the prophet." He shows his loyalty to the Lord. He was a man who recognized the truth of Jeremiah's words and stood up for him. And he trusted the words that Jeremiah had spoken. And the Lord grants to him this word of assurance here: "Thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Well, the Lord is no different. If we turn to him and repent of our sin and break with this world and trust the word of the gospel, that promise that all who come through Jesus Christ, pleading his merits as the Savior who died in their place, because they trust, the Lord will give to us that life, that eternal life. Well, may the Lord help us to do so. You know, consider Zedekiah here. He was a man who, to a certain extent, showed courtesy to the prophet Jeremiah. Zedekiah says in verse 24, "Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die." He showed courtesy, but he never heeded them. And there are people like that today. They show great courtesy to the gospel. Courtesy, if you like, to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great respect for the Christian message and for the Christian church. But they never truly leave this world. Never truly repent of their sin. Showing courtesy and respect to the Christian message will not save you. Identifying up to a point will not preserve you from the judgment of God on that last great day. The Lord calls us to obey the voice of the Lord if we would experience the salvation of our souls. And you know, for Zedekiah, the end happened so suddenly, so catastrophically, between January 588 and July 586, a siege was laid against Jerusalem. The people held out, but then at the end, there was a cataclysmic collapse. And the men of the city fled, were rounded up by the Babylonians. And Zedekiah suffered all those things that were threatened through the prophet Jeremiah. It could have been so different. I was told recently of a man of 45, a very successful businessman, and he had just had a month in which he had generated £1 million of revenue. And then he died suddenly. He had to leave behind his lifestyle, his wealth, his reputation, and all the trappings that that brought. And he stood before the Lord, brought down in a moment. It happens to elderly people who perhaps enjoy remarkable health into their 80s, and then within a few weeks, they're cut off. Our lives are so vulnerable. Our life here upon earth can be cut off in a moment. Will we be amongst the Zedekiahs who heard the word of the Lord, who showed great courtesy to the prophet, but never truly heeded the message? Will it be said of you and I, when we come to die, we heard of Jesus Christ, we had great respect for all that he taught and even for what he had done, but we had never personally called upon him and yielded to him and trusted our soul to him? Oh, what a tragedy. May the Lord move us each this evening, if we have not yet done so, consciously to call upon the Saviour and turn our lives over to him, that we may prove that his promise is an unchanging promise and that the rewards of his grace are rich and free. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank thee for the words of this ancient prophet and that way of deliverance that was set before Zedekiah. We know it was a humbling way and a way that he was reluctant to take. Oh Lord, help us to understand that the terms of the gospel that require obedience and surrender yet promise great blessing. Cause us each to trust our souls to Jesus Christ and discover the riches of his grace this evening. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, let's continue by singing 380.